Cannonball Podcast Network.
Fantasy Football Almost Daily is brought to you by Fanball. Fanball's still rocking NBA playoff contests right now. We have late swap. The other salary cap sites do not have that for NBA. Don't get burned by the late scratch. Go play some contests over at Fanball today. We would greatly appreciate it. It's also brought to you by MFL 10s. MFL 10s are now in full swing. They have 4-hour or 8-hour slow drafts. And starting this weekend, we will have live drafts, and we will also be introducing the double-up format. If you finish in the top 5 in your league, you will double your money. That's not too bad. The other sponsor I want to mention, LeagueSafe. You can still collect for your Major League Baseball fantasy leagues right now. You can also set up your NFL 2018 league at any time. New thing on LeagueSafe this year, we have an NFL Survivor League format. The payment deadline for that is Thursday of the NFL opener. Payouts are available after week 8 of the season. So if you're running a survivor pool, you don't have to wait all the way until week 16 to pay out your survivor pool. Now, go set up a NFL Survivor League today. What happened on today's show? We had Paul Charchian and Trevor Jones on the show today. Charch hates Josh Gordon. He goes way into how much he hates Josh Gordon. He has an in-depth knowledge of the Bears' depth chart as well, which was kind of weird. And then Trevor, he knows every single statistic about Jordy Nelson. We also mentioned a couple of running backs that are being drafted way too highly on MFL 10s. And Charch gives us a guess as to where Saquon Barkley ends up in the draft this weekend. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Recording not live from LeagueSafe's world headquarters, this is Fantasy Football Almost Daily.
Hi, everybody. After a little bit of a hiatus, we're back on Fantasy Football Almost Daily, but it was kind of, you know, the slow dog days of winter. It's Matt Harrison along with Paul Charchian.
First one of the year.
Oh, my God.
And, I know.
And Trevor Jones. I don't know if you guys have ever podcasted together.
No,
this is never.
This is the big leagues.
We usually don't even make eye contact in the office.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah,
you were calling him Tim for the last, like, 2 weeks. We had to keep telling you.
Tim. It all starts with T.
Yeah.
Should have really answered any of those things.
Pretty much works. Today we're going to go over a few things. MFL 10s, they're in full swing right now. I should note that the 4-hour or 8-hour slow drafts are still going. A couple different price points up there right now. But starting this weekend, for the first time ever, we will have live MFL 10 drafts. Once the first, I think by the time the first round and the second, third round are done Friday night, we should probably be launching the live draft version. So you can go and you can do an MFL 10, not in the slow draft, but in the live draft. You'll be able to, and we'll also have the double up format, which is the top 5 players in each league win double their money.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is finish in the top 5, and actually the 6th place guy gets a credit to a future league next year. So kind of a cool deal, and if you want to play 50-50s, basically on MFL 10s, you have a way to do that now. So those coming this weekend.
As much as I like the whole MFL bit and being able to do football now, I really want to wait till after the draft. There's too many. I feel like you're throwing darts right now just based on a guy's talent.
Sure.
Like, I love Sony Michel, and I'm interested in him,
mm-hmm.
but if he goes to the wrong landing spot, I've got a lot less interest in him. And if he goes to the right landing spot, I got a lot of interest in him.
Sure.
And so I just,
if
I
all
feel
of a sudden
like,
he ends up in Seattle and he's the only really true running
yeah,
back.
That,
there.
That's a great example.
That's absolutely
great. Example. And by the way, it's not impossible.
Yeah.
His stock's going up a lot. And,
yeah.
So if you,
I think you're driving that stock price too.
Yeah, well, I'm trying. And so I feel like right now there's an element of luck to it that I don't love because it's blind guesswork.
Some might
to a
call
degree.
It luck, but some might call it like the guys who are super into the draft and all that stuff beforehand. They might go, it doesn't matter where this guy's gonna slot
yeah,
in.
He'll
be good no matter where.
But you know, as we know, with fantasy football, it's more about opportunity than it is skill
for sure.
And so, you know, to me, that's just how I play. Everybody can play however they want. But I, you know, for me, my interest in a MFL type format really takes off starting this weekend. Once we got the draft behind us.
And then we're into them.
Yes.
I can't wait till we can really start getting into this stuff coming after this weekend. So the ADP, I took the ADP from the beginning of when MFL 10s launched via Fanball to...
That was what? And you should give people some respect. It was about 6 weeks ago?
It was about 6 weeks of data, yeah.
Okay.
Until April 9th, which was 2 weeks ago. Today is April 23rd. Mm-hmm. So everything until the April 9th, that Monday. And then I took from April 9th to April 23rd, took the ADP of that, and then I noted the change, and we saw some guys go up. Some guys go up majorly. Some guys go down quite a bit, and we can kind of talk about why. We'll start with the ADP up guys. Alan Hearns, the biggest ADP mover on the upswing, up about three rounds right now, 32 places. He's a member of the Dallas Cowboys now, and go figure.
Des Bryant's not.
Des Bryant is not a member of the Dallas Cowboys.
He just turned into the go-to receiver for a very good offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Hearns, of course, we saw sporadic productivity with Jacksonville. I think now the feelings is he's the best receiver. By the way, only 26 years old.
Well, the thing about Hearns,
he's still basically entering his prime.
That works really well in this format too. Is when Hearns was with Jacksonville, he was one of those all or nothing guys. He mm-hmm. would catch 100 yards and two touchdowns, or he'd go for basically nothing. That plays well in this format. So I think Alan Hearns is a really good play.
Yeah,
Trevor.
Yeah, I mean, there's just nobody else to take targets. That Des Bryant,
Cole Beasley doesn't scare you.
Yeah, I mean, who else is it? Cole Beasley, Ryan Switzer's there, Terrence Williams. We know what he is. So Hearns. If anything, he could be going higher than the one.
He's going 155 right now.
Yeah, so if anything,
that'll keep going up.
Yeah. Yeah,
that'll keep going up over the course of the season, I believe.
So you can still get him at a value. You're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next guy on the list, Jerick McKinnon. Went from 58th pick to 31st pick, up 27 picks in the draft. He's now a third-round selection.
That's a mistake. And I'll tell you why. You know, we've seen Jerick McKinnon be the lead dog for the Vikings two out of the last 3 years almost the whole year. And he was a middling producer. And, you know, in a third-round pick, I want a guy that I can count on pretty much every week. And you
people
know,
are really positive on your son Jimmy Garoppolo and his
I'm too
his
and I like this offense. I just don't think Jerick McKinnon's a special back. He had plenty of opportunities to distinguish himself, and I think he's just a slightly above average back at most things, and I don't know that translates into third round production.
It is high, and especially since San Francisco could be one of those teams that draft one of these awesome running backs, too.
What they just paid Jerick McKinnon, made him the fourth highest paid running back in the NFL, I don't know that that's going to happen. And they need help a lot of places, offensive line among them. So, you know, if they go offensive line, that makes me like McKinnon a little bit better. But can you remember, did Jerick McKinnon break a lot of tackles?
Not necessarily.
No. Did he make a lot of guys miss? Once in a while.
The reason I think that McKinnon might be paired up with one of these rookie backs, and it's probably not a first or second round rookie back, it's probably one of those third, fourth round guys, is he always had a thunder to the lightning, and he was always the lightning. He had Matt Asiata, or he had Adrian Peterson, or he had last year Latavius Murray when Dalvin Cook went down. So I think it's one of those things where they're going to try to get a big bruising running back, maybe somebody like John Kelly, who's kind of going late in the draft, mid rounds right now.
They got a big bruising guy that they drafted last year, Joe Williams. And Matt Breida's a bigger back. Yeah. He's not big, but he's bigger. So I don't know. I don't think they're going to take it back, and I worry about McKinnon yielding goal line stuff again, just like he did in Minnesota.
Sure.
And, you know, the production you got out of him last year was not requisite of a third round pick, and I don't know that. I don't know that it's going to be that much better this year.
I agree. It feels like third round is like his absolute ceiling. And like you said, I don't really see him hitting that. He had pretty good usage with the Vikings last year, especially PPR. Paying that third round tag is just not something I'm interested in.
He's not a specific guy that goes off for crazy awesome games either. That's the thing that scares me about him.
Yeah, that's a good point too, actually. I think that is fairly stated.
I don't think he's a two touchdown per game guy. Maybe two touchdowns once a season.
I'd rather have Joe Mixon.
Yeah,
at roughly the same price.
Oh, for sure.
Sure.
You know, to me, it's not even that close. And I think they're just, if I'm going to go other backs in the third round, I just think there are a lot of other players that have a lot more upside than he does.
Chris Hogan is the next guy I want to mention. Moved up two rounds in draft status. Currently going at pick number 95, which puts him in was that about the seventh or eighth round right there?
Right around that turn, yeah.
Chris Hogan.
That's the departure of Danny Amendola talking, right?
Yeah.
That people feel like this means more consistent playing time for Chris Hogan.
But we also get the return of Julian Edelman.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't take anything away from him. Hogan's strictly an outside guy.
And Jordan Matthews is now in the fold there.
But Matthews also is an inside guy. He played
how many
he
guys
played
are
the
they
slot
play?
Almost entirely.
You can't just line up everybody in the slot.
there was always talk about moving Jordan Matthews out of the slot when he was in Philadelphia. They never did it. And then they traded him to the Bills. Bills had plenty of opportunities to move him outside, too. They didn't do much of that either.
Yeah.
So I think he is what he is. Jordan Matthews is a slot receiver.
Yeah, his production outside of the slot is just much poorer. And, yeah, every time that a team has tried it, they just, oh, this isn't working. Let's put him back in the slot.
So what are the Patriots doing here with – I mean, Gronk essentially runs – as a slot receiver anyway.
Yeah.
Edelman's a slot receiver.
Hogan's so valuable, yeah, right, yeah. Is if you've got all this talent that's rumbling through the middle of your opposing defense, in the middle of the field,
mm-hmm.
Well, now, you know, here's this crazy fast Chris Hogan, Taren, streaking down the sideline, and I think that's going to open up some big plays for him. And in this format, an NFL-style format, you know, these boomer bust guys are worth a lot more, and I think Hogan's going to be one.
Yeah, and if Chris Hogan's name was Brandon Cooks, he'd be going like four rounds higher.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know that.
Yeah, that was the other guy. By the way, that's the other guy.
Oh, yeah.
Why did I focus on Amendola?
I don't know that Brandon Cooks is an appreciably better player than Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan was like, what, a top 5-10 receiver for the first 5-6 weeks last year?
The Rams management just spit out whatever they were drinking right now when you said Chris Hogan.
Less
certainly,
than
they
like
have a
big
they
listener
have
a, of the podcast. Yeah. Hi, Les.
They have a different opinion, but
Another guy who just moved teams, Cameron Meredith. He goes up about two rounds from his move from Chicago to Drew Brees and the Saints. I like that move for Meredith quite a bit, but he's coming off an injury,
and a significant one at that.
Yeah.
The fact that the Bears, a wide receiver needy team,
mm-hmm.
that knows everything there is to know about Cameron Meredith, let him walk. To me, is a bad sign. And we liked what we saw a little bit from him a couple of years ago.
When there was nobody else there.
There's nobody else there.
Yeah.
And well, it's not like there's a lot of great target. Well, Brees does actually have a lot of good targets. He's got Michael Thomas, who's obviously great.
Yeah.
In the backfield, he's got great targets. But at the receiver position, you've got Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn.
Yeah.
Then what?
And they just lost Willie Snead to the Ravens.
They lost Willie Snead.
Cameron Meredith is the slot guy now there.
Probably.
So Cameron Meredith slots into the slot for no better use of terms right there.
He won't be on my team.
I the Bears letting him go, I think, is more the Bears making a mistake. Because this has happened multiple times now. The Packers tried to sign Kyle Fuller because the Bears lowballed the restricted offer,
mm-hmm.
the tender on him, and they messed up with Meredith. They could have kept him, and they didn't. And it feels like maybe that's just an organization that isn't understanding how free agency works.
Or
they know what his injury status is, and they're nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my worry.
This one was kind of a surprise to me. Trey Burton up 20 slots.
Well, I mean, speaking of the Bears, who else are the Bears going to throw to? That's I assume a lot of it is just, you know, they paid a ton of money to get him.
Yeah.
Burton is only good at that one thing. He's a pass catcher. He's not a blocker. And I think that when you look at the rest of that depth chart, people go, well, all right, Trey Burton or Taylor Gabriel or Josh Bellamy or maybe Allen Robinson is right.
I am just so impressed with your knowledge of the Bears depth chart right now.
Holy crap. There's not a lot of talent on the Bears receivers outside of Trey Burton. Right. So the assumption is you're going to pay him that much money. And by the way, we should mention this as well. This is now a new offense that should be largely predicated based on past offenses.
Yeah.
That should be predicated on using the tight end in much the same way that Nagy used his tight end in Kansas City.
Travis Kelce,
right. So the assumption is that we're going to have a lot of that carryover of offense.
Wow, let's hope so.
So I'm cool with Trey Burton. Where's he going right now? That's what I really care about.
Pick 109, which is the ninth round?
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, 109, you're still getting top 10 tight ends, right?
Right, yeah. And he's a top two red zone target. It's him and Allen Robinson. You know, who else? Tariq Cohen's not getting the ball on the 5-yard line. You know,
yeah.
So.
No.
I skipped over a guy here. Up 21 spots is Rex Burkhead, now going at pick number 77. That would be the right at the beginning of the seventh round.
Deion Lewis left. That's a huge, huge part of this for Rex Burkhead. What people, though, I think might be missing is the Cordarrelle Patterson effect, who I think can be used a lot like Rex Burkhead.
Oh.
You know, they used Rex all over the field. Yeah. They used him, obviously, as a running back. They used him as a slot receiver. They even
more slot receivers. Yeah. Good.
Right. Yeah, more slot receivers there. Exactly. You know, Cordarrelle is, you know, at some point, somebody on Twitter posted all of Cordarrelle's running back runs.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Holy crap. You didn't realize how effective he was as a running back?
Yeah.
And you wonder if the Patriots, who said when they acquired him, they said, we're the team that's finally going to use him right. I wonder if that means running back.
His rookie year in Minnesota, I think he was used correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the team all fell apart, and then he ended up with Norv Turner running the offense, and Norv couldn't figure it out. One of the reasons I don't like Christian McCaffrey this year is I don't think Norv is going to utilize a weapon in that way. That's something different.
Not as sure about that. We'll
talk about that one on the radio show coming up this fall.
Okay.
LeGarrette Blount and Mike Wallace both up about a round in value. They're late round picks, though, so maybe not too exciting. Anything you want to say about either of those guys?
I'm off of Lions running backs until proven otherwise. I mean, unless they like somehow take Saquon Barkley this draft, like there's like four guys there, and none of them are particularly talented or exciting. So I think, yeah, if you want to take a flyer in the whatever 15th round, then go nuts. But
yeah, Mike Wallace, too many targets for the Eagles.
Yeah,
yeah, they got a lot of ways to score, mm-hmm. and if you can't get reliable numbers out of like Ajay Ajayi.
It was tough in the fantasy season to get reliable numbers out of Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, right, great. Yeah, good point. Although, I don't know if that's entirely true. He's pretty good. I bet Alshon was pretty darn good.
He was good. In the playoffs, he was great. But in the regular season, he was just
average, touchdowns. I'm looking at the game log. Do you know how many 100-yard games Alshon Jeffrey had?
No.
I think it's zero or one, isn't it?
Zero.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Okay.
He had none. But he scored with regularity. He was a touchdown roughly every other week and typically 60 yards, 70 yards, somewhere in that ballpark.
Okay. The last couple of guys that went up around, and we won't mention any guys after this, Dante Foreman, Rashard Matthews, and Royce Freeman.
Why?
Who the heck is Royce Freeman?
He's an Oregon running back.
Yeah, okay. So it's rookie. He's a rookie
running back. Yeah. So yeah. Royce Freeman's now going in the, it looks like about the 13th round.
Yeah, and you see the next like 10 names, it's like half rookie running backs.
Yep.
People are getting excited
about
the draft.
Nick after that.
So those guys are.
Rashad Penny, Sony Michel.
I looked at a lot of Royce Freeman tape.
Yeah.
And I just walked away going, bah. He's got good footwork. He's got good vision. If you give him a lot of room to run, he's fine. But I didn't see him making his own yards.
Okay.
And that's mostly what I look for with great running backs or guys that are finding ways to make their own yards, either through, you know, great cutting or breaking tackles or making guys miss or terrific vision, having the right angles. You know, there's a lot of ways you can do that. I didn't see any of that with Royce Freeman at all. And, you know, I don't know that he's going to be an impact guy based on what I've seen to this point.
I think he's like a maybe fourth, fifth round projection right now. So it's not somebody that will be heavily.
He's the guy that'll be matched up with Jerick McKinnon in San Francisco. Dante Foreman's the kind of interesting guy there. He goes at pick 98 now, so he's like an eighth round pick.
I don't know why.
That's pretty high.
We're like. The demise of Lamar Miller has been greatly exaggerated, right?
I wouldn't go that far.
I don't think so. I don't. Lamar Miller has been given all the opportunity, and he can't stay healthy, and he doesn't produce. Dante Foreman was, a third-round pick last year? I mean, that's enough where you could see him winning the job.
Okay.
3 days ago, news reports said Dante Foreman is in danger of starting the season on the PUP list from last year's ACL. So I don't... No, it was Achilles. It was Achilles.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, that changes.
So I'm no interest whatsoever in Dante Foreman at this stage. You know, we'll see how this looks closer to August, but I had no interest.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break. This commercial right here, this product, Trevor Jones approved, and we're back. What did you think of that, Trevor?
I'm not sure. I don't want to put my name on anything that I might regret later.
ADP down guys who are really tanking in value right now, and a lot of them, there's a reason for it. Jermaine Kearse is the first one. He's the one who's gone down 30 spots. He's almost undraftable now.
Well, he had moments where he flashed for the Jets last year.
Little glimpses.
Remember early on, he had week two, we had a 2-touchdown game, and then would splash, you know, once a month with good games. But
sure.
Very hard to predict. I don't know why. Frankly, I think we're wasting our time even talking about him. But, you know, if Robbie Anderson is in jail, that would help him. That would help him. If Terrell Pryor
that ADP might turn around.
Yeah. If Terrell Pryor, if there's a reason Terrell Pryor's on his third team in 3 years, that might help Jermaine Kearse. So, you know.
Robbie Anderson, his felony charges were dropped. So I think he's like in the clear for now.
Right. Like, we're still 4 months away.
I mean, yeah, there's
plenty
of time.
Got a lot of time between now and the start of the season.
Yeah, Robbie might get in trouble. DeMarco Murray, I don't believe he's on a team yet, right?
Nope.
Is his career done?
I'm going to go no. I bet Murray ends up being an addition by some team near closer to training camp or in training camp when somebody goes down. And by the way, rightfully so. I mean, he's better than most of the backups on most of the teams.
Sure.
I think what's going to happen is DeMarco Murray's used to getting paid a lot of money.
Yes.
When he's been sitting around for 3 months, closer to August, he'll be ready to sign a veteran minimum deal and make his $700,000-$800,000.
I actually kind of think he's a bit of a bargain at 137. Like, if DeMarco Murray was on the Lions right now, he would be the number one back. I mean, he wasn't good last year, but he wasn't bad, and he was dealing with injuries the entire time. He just looked really bad because Derrick Henry was clowning people when he got on the field. But
so you're looking at about a 11th or 12th round pick on DeMarco Murray if you're picking him today.
Yeah, on the gamble that he signs and gets used, which if he signs somewhere, he's probably going to be an injury replacement for a starter, and I think he probably would get used.
Where are the spots that he could land that would be interesting? I guess we probably can't answer that until after this weekend, really.
Yeah, until after the draft.
Yeah.
So many teams are going to fill running back, and there are a handful of really, really good backs.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It might be the best running back year in –
Well, that won't be last year.
It won't be last year?
No. Last year was staggeringly good, but this year you're going to have Barkley, who'll make an immediate impact. Chubb will make an immediate impact. Sony Michel will make an immediate impact. I think Ronald Jones could as well. Maybe Rashad Penny. Some people think Darius Geis is going to make an immediate impact.
You've listed
I don't.
Six. How many made an immediate impact last year?
Well, these are coulds. I just don't, last year we had so many great running backs. It was generational how good that one was. That draft was. This year, I think those are all guys in the right spot that could be good.
Maybe we just have a whole bunch of really great athletes all becoming running backs at the same time and not doing anything else.
They're probably in it for all the money that they're getting. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, Nick Chubb might be the best fantasy back out of all of them because he's got crazy touchdown potential because of his build. It's just as a big bruising inside back with the footwork and the cutting ability, he could be devastating from the 3 yard line.
Yeah, after his freshman or sophomore year at Georgia, he was like, okay, this is Todd Gurley 2.0. Like, people were fired up, and then I think he blew out an ACL, and so he's
to be clear,
hasn't been the same.
Nick Chubb's ADP is not on the downslope right now.
No, it shouldn't be.
Somebody who is, Jonathan Stewart, who's quite a bit older than Nick Chubb, if I know this correctly.
Did he re-sign anywhere yet?
He's on the Giants.
The Giants.
Oh, that's right.
He's the starting running back for
That's not going to hold.
No, there's no way.
Now, he signed there because it's the Carolina former GM who's now the
Gettleman.
Giants. Yeah, Gettleman.
Well, and they paid him more than, like, veterans minimum. He got, like, $2 million a year.
$7 million with $3 million guaranteed. What?
So he's going to be on the roster this year.
Sure, he'll be on the roster, but he wasn't good last year. The Giants offensive line is really bad.
He had diminishing yards per carry in 4 straight seasons.
Okay.
Jonathan Stewart
may be the handcuff to Saquon Barkley, though.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't think they're going to take Barkley, for the record.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Where do you think Barkley ends up?
Colts.
Mm. Yep. It'd be an interesting spot. Mm-hmm. Another old running back, Frank Gore.
By interesting, basically ideal.
Yeah.
I mean, walks into that job. Andrew Luck comes back. Defenses have to account for Luck.
He still hasn't thrown a football yet. Does that not concern you a little bit?
No, I think he's are you sure he hasn't thrown? I think he's throwing.
I think he said it last week. He's not throwing football yet. He was in a press conference and he said
throwing of something, but not footballs or
not
something.
Not footballs?
Like, I don't know. Beach balls?
Turkeys? What's he throwing?
He's at the Pike Place Market in Seattle
fish,
throwing fish.
Fish. Yeah, I like that idea.
Frank Gore, he's old. He's down two rounds as a member of the Miami Dolphins now. I think the signing of Frank Gore is only just bad for everybody around there. Kenyon Drake probably moving down quite a bit in my mind.
I don't think he's any threat, to be honest. I think he's just – I think
– Why do you sign Frank Gore then?
Well, because he's – if you need him to fill in for a couple of games, you can do that.
Okay.
And he'll know what to do, and he's not going to give away a game. And, you know, you've got just a safety net behind it more billion times more dynamic Kenyon Drake. And if anything were to happen to Drake, you've got a guy who can step in.
To me, it seems like both of these guys get 12 touches a game now.
No, I just
want to stay away from the
Miami
backfield.
Why would they give Frank Gore 12 touches a game?
We've been asking that question for 4 years.
Well, no, but the answer of the last 4 years has been there's nobody else to get the ball.
I guess.
Right? Indianapolis never had anybody else that was even serviceable to take those carries. Miami does.
Okay. Younger running back on this list that kind of surprised me, Samaje Perine, down about two rounds right now.
I think they're going the wrong way on this. I would go up on Perine, again, pre-draft, and I think there's a good chance that over the course of the draft, the Redskins are a prime team to go get a running back.
Sure.
So, that aside, if they don't get a notable running back in the draft, I see Perine as one of those potential second-year running backs where it didn't click in year one, but they come back with the opportunity and they've learned how to be a pro and all the things that goes into it. You know, Devonta Freeman was a brutal rookie with distinguished himself in no way whatsoever, but in year two, put it all together. I think there's still an opportunity for Perine to be a lot better than what we showed last year. And if they don't draft anybody else, he's the only guy.
How is Perine as a pass catcher? Because he goes from having Kirk Cousins, who's more of a deep ball dude, to Alex Smith, who's the king of the dump.
It won't matter a lot because Chris Thompson comes back and he'll siphon off almost all the receptions. I see Perine as your ball carrier, not receiver.
Yeah, he had some receptions down the stretch last year, but it was all here when Chris Thompson got injured, and then the next six games was when Perine got all his receiving work.
All right. I'm going to skip over Tyler Kroft because he's not all that interesting to me. Jordy Nelson is a guy who's down a little more than a round.
Yeah, funny. I'm surprised it's only that much, to be honest.
He's down 15 slots. At 67 is where he's going currently. To the Green Bay Packers desk and Trevor Jones.
So Jordy's best trait right now is his connection with Aaron Rodgers, which no longer exists.
But there's been rumors that Rodgers is being traded to the Raiders just to get
rumors from
I'm making those up.
Matt Harrison. Oh, okay. I mean, Jordy would have had a lot more value specifically only in the Packers offense because they have those back shoulders. He gets so much red zone looks. And then going to the Raiders where they were a disaster last year and John Gruden is inspiring no confidence that anything's going to change.
I think this could be a terrible team. I've disliked almost everything Gruden has done.
Yeah. That many were picking to be the AFC representative to the Super Bowl last year. Last year.
Yep. And it's not that there's no talent here and they've got a functional and maybe even sometimes very good quarterback, but I don't trust Gruden to pull this thing together at all. And I don't like the moves that he's made.
Is it possible we were looking at a year of Derek Carr just still recovering from the broken leg and he just wasn't right yet?
Oh, you mean last year?
Yeah, last year was kind of his redshirt year.
Maybe part of it, but they also torpedoed the whole coaching staff. So, it's hard for us on the outside to know how much of it was scheme, how much of it was mechanics, injury. Yeah, it's hard to say, but you know, broadly, does Jordy walk in? Let me ask you this. Who thinks that Jordy at his advanced age of, 33, is better than Michael Crabtree was last year?
I'd say it's a wash at
best. I think he's worse. I think he's quite a bit worse than what Crabtree was. So I don't think you're going to get Crabtree's numbers out of Jordy.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And it's a tough division, too. He's got to go against the Denver corners twice a year. He has to go against the Chargers corners twice a year.
That's right.
Does it mean Amari Cooper's numbers are up, or does it just mean loss of production for everybody on that passing offense?
Yeah, I think it's just take whatever Michael Crabtree did last year and multiply it by,
0.8.
Yeah, 0.9, 0.8.
Okay. Another guy who actually ended up in Oakland, Doug Martin. He's down 15 spots.
Oh, he's behind Marshawn Lynch. he went.
How many running backs are in Oakland?
Why is
right
anybody
now?
Even drafting Doug Martin, by the way?
They're drafting him pretty late.
Well, these are what, 20 to 20 rounds?
Yeah.
Could not be less interested in Doug Martin. He was a brutal talent the last 2 years when he was gifted the starting job.
Sure.
In Tampa. And now he's behind Marshawn Lynch, who I thought had a better season than most people want to give him credit for. And, we'll see.
The next guy I want to mention, even though he's almost not being drafted, it's Corey Coleman at pick 193. He's down 14 slots. Cleveland has gotten better, right? They added Landry.
Well, that's
Josh Gordon's back.
I think that's a lot of what people are reacting to.
They added Tyrod. They're going to have a quarterback. I mean,
oh, that's true. And then, just based on the fact they should have a functional quarterback one way or another,
yeah,
counts for a lot. And, they'll have whoever they take it with the first pick overall,
mm-hmm,
and going into Tyrod Taylor. It's always four different quarterbacks that are on the field for Cleveland. Now, at least you can feel confident in
one of them,
at least probably two of them. So, yeah, I would think it would make sense to give Corey Coleman a little bit more love here. I think there's too much worry about Jarvis Landry. But, Landry's a slot guy. He'll play out of the slot.
Well, obviously, Coleman's broke his hand each of the last 2 years, correct?
Yes.
Last year definitely was. Yeah.
So
and he definitely did his rookie year, too.
Yeah, so it was – he had I seem to remember, like, two good games in each of those first 2 weeks in both seasons, mm-hmm, broke his hand, and then was never the same when he came back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's worth a flyer. I mean, 193 is obviously borderline. I'm not getting drafted.
Yeah.
But I do worry. While Tyrod Taylor is a good-ish quarterback, the passing production with him is always has a ceiling. You know,
that's
it's
true.
It's only 225 per game.
Tyrod's not a three-touchdown pass per game.
Yeah, he was never a volume passer.
Yeah.
But, having someone who's accurate throwing Corey Coleman the ball can't hurt.
Yeah.
So let's. The other reason is because Josh Gordon's on the field, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody loves Josh Gordon, and we're all excited for Josh Gordon. Let's take a look at Josh Gordon's averages.
You've just been holstered with Josh Gordon poo-poo stats?
Yeah, well, I'm working on it now. Okay, so Josh Gordon
He's got a whole file folder on his laptop that says Josh Gordon.
Gordon played five games last year,
yeah,
so let's get to his per-game averages.
Okay.
Okay, so we can see, is he really a threat or not? What would you guys guess was his per-game average for yards?
60.
45.
67.
Okay.
Do you remember how many touchdowns he scored in those five games?
Scored right away against the Packers, I believe, and I want to say he didn't have another one.
Bingo. Once. So he
also had DeShone Kizer throwing him the ball.
That's fair. Okay, that's very fair. 67 yards and 0.2 touchdowns per game is not so dominating that Corey Coleman can't get something done opposite side of the field. So,
Now, to Josh Gordon's credit,
yes,
he is the perfect MFL 10s kind of player.
Yeah, he is.
Like, He's
the definition of all or nothing, right?
Maybe comes up with 200 yards and two touchdowns in a game and then disappears for months of the season.
Who knows? We don't even know what kind of player he is.
Yeah.
We got five games in the last 3 years to look at, so it's really hard. I think we don't know, but here's what I do know about Josh Gordon. Somebody's taking him before I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going 45.
Right, 45.
Now. That seems insane.
Every league has got somebody.
Tail end of the fourth round.
Every league's got somebody who's reliving 2013 in the fifth round.
You mean you're not?
No, I'm not.
The only other guys I'm going to mention on the down list, Carson Wentz, down a round in value, right now going off at 86th pick. Mm-hmm. That's just, I think, mostly because I think the common view is that he might not start the season, might miss a couple weeks to start the year.
Yeah.
Potentially.
We're looking at Nick Foles for the first month, maybe.
Yep.
Jack Doyle is down a full round as well.
Although, let me mention this as an MFL strategy, right?
Yeah.
You wait on Wentz, and then you get Foles with the last pick of your draft.
Yeah.
Right? And now I got the Eagles. No matter what happens, I have the Eagles starting quarterback.
That's true.
You know, that that combo could lead the NFL in touchdown passes.
That's true.
So I think that's a brilliant strategy. If Carson Wentz is going two rounds later than he should, I'll take that.
Sage-like wisdom. Bilal Powell's the only other guy I'll mention. He's down a full round. Charge likes Bilal Powell.
No, that was 2 years ago.
You're not reliving 2013?
No. I loved Bilal Powell 2 years ago. Got off of him last year in the preseason because I was too worried about the way the Jets offense works and everything else. Now he's behind Isaiah Crowell, at least for the time being. It looks like, though, Powell should, with Crowell there, he'll be the yardage guy. I think Powell could be Duke Johnson this year to Isaiah Crowell, and I think they could just use him almost entirely as a pass-catching back. And from a PPR standpoint, Powell, who's going in what round?
He is going at pick 151, that's about the 13th round.
13th round, call it that. That's, you know, you could get a PPR specialist 13th round. Maybe that makes sense.
Well, considering that Matt Forte is also not there to catch passes anymore.
Right.
He doesn't have anybody in the way
Thomas
to catch
Rawls
the passes.
Thomas Rawls is no threat to catch passes. We know that.
So I think Elijah McGuire is still there. I don't know. He's not a big threat, I don't think, but they did give him some run, and he did eat into Powell's.
Elijah McGuire caught 17 passes last year. I will take my chances.
I want to mention two more guys just because they're in here. Tom Brady, down 10 picks. Just think that's kind of
interesting.
Probably
people worried that he might retire, Gronk might retire, the loss of Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Look, I'm as high as I was on the Patriots last preseason, I'm nervous about this whole offense right now. You know, Brady at his age is a time bomb. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in your 40s as an athlete in virtually every sport, when the end comes, it comes quickly and it comes with injury. And I know Tom Brady's eluded this thing brilliantly for his entire career, but I'm nervous on Brady right now, and I'm nervous about some of the offensive losses.
I think that the book is out on drafting quarterbacks later, and specifically in the last 2 weeks, people have really figured that out because it's Brady down 10, Deshaun Watson down 9 selections, Jimmy Garoppolo down 9 selections, Tyrod Taylor down 9, Breeze down 8. So everybody's just drafting their quarterbacks a little bit later.
Especially in the MFL format.
Yep.
You give me two mid-rounders in any given week, one of them's going to have a good game.
Yeah. Right. Well, and other people are starting to get to know who the running backs and wide receivers from a rookie standpoint are, too.
Right,
so
those guys are
going
up.
They're now drafting them a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. The quarterbacks are being pushed down. So if you're going to draft this weekend, remember, just wait on the quarterback, okay? Just wait. At least till, like, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round?
At least,
And then you're probably
– Where's the first quarterback going?
The first quarterback going, that would have to be Aaron Rodgers.
Would it?
Yeah, he is at – 49.
Aaron Rodgers, okay, 49. Pick 49.
So that's the first pick in the 5th round.
Yeah, that sounds, frankly, about right. I don't have a big problem with that, but I'm probably not going to take him there.
No, I don't think you have to in this format.
No, well, and you can get 300-yard, 3-touchdown games out of Josh McCown now. You know, like, there are guys you can get in the 20 to 30-second quarterbacks that are going to – they're going to have spiked weeks, and you get three or four of those guys, and you have Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, there's five or six rookie quarterbacks this year that could land in a starting spot.
Even if they don't, I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on Lamar Jackson in the last few rounds, even if he only gets half a season.
Last thing I want to mention that isn't on necessarily a guy moving up or down, but 9 of the first 12 guys going, running backs.
The running back renaissance.
9 of the first – you know why? Because last year, Todd Gurley powered people to championships. Mm-hmm. So everybody now, 1 year later, everybody does what they should have done last year. Mm-hmm. That's just the way fantasy football works, and that's the way owners work. And last year, Todd Gurley powered teams to the playoffs, and then in the playoffs, he went berserk. And if you had Todd Gurley, you had a coin flip chance of winning your championship because it was almost impossible to stop. So now everybody's eschewing Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, These are all guys that, you can make case for being the first overall pick.
I think you're trending toward a do the opposite take here.
Yeah, it's going to be
that you're bringing
it back. I think it's going to be a great year to do the opposite.
I think it will be too.
AJ Green's going off the board at pick 20.
Well, I think one of the other things
that Mike Evans pick 22. Davante Adams, the only viable wide receiver that they've got in Green Bay at this point, is going off at pick 24.
Since all these running backs are going in the first two rounds, and there's not many like top tier wide receivers anymore. It may be five that are great. If you can get two of those top five wide receivers in your first two rounds, which I think that you can from basically any slot in the draft right now, you're sitting pretty, and then you just have to build a whole bunch of next tier running backs.
Yeah, I think after pick four, because you have Gurley, Bell, Johnson, Zeke, those guys have usage that is just unmatched by anyone else, even by Kamara, Hunt.
Yeah,
Barkley could join that list depending on where he goes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, after those first four, I have no problem, you know, skipping past some of those backs to take Brown, Odell, those guys.
Would you rather have Rob Gronkowski or Zach Ertz? Right now, they're only separated by about six picks.
I'd rather have Ertz.
Man, it's a toss-up. But whoever's going later, that's what
I'll say. I answer that from a regular fantasy football standpoint. If I'm doing an MFL 10, I'd rather have Gronk. Gronk has the huge spikes.
I think Ertz did too. We should take a quick look.
Ertz was crazily consistent the first like 6-7 weeks of last year. It was like 80 yards and a touchdown every week, you know.
Which is great to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Ertz had he was good.
Yeah.
He had, if I look at this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games of over 80 yards.
And Ertz was really Carson Wentz's boy.
Scored in seven different games.
That's one of the things I'm a little nervous about if Carson Wentz doesn't start the season. Foles spreads it around quite a bit. I think Wentz really had a connection with Ertz, and I'm a little nervous that we don't have that right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
I'm not really all that worried either. I said I'd take Ertz in a regular fantasy league, but in an MFL 10.
That's going to be fun. Tight ends can be fun. People are going to be largely off tight ends this year, and I think there's going to be opportunities for savvy drafters to get tight ends at a good value this year.
What tight ends are going to be at a good value, though?
I think the whole position's going to be down.
Okay.
And so I think you're going to be able to find, you know, almost anybody you can
pay
less for.
There's those top three tight ends, Kelsey, Gronk, and Ertz.
Yeah.
And then Evan Engram's like the next tight end, kind of in a tier by himself. And then after that, you got to wait quite a bit. The tier is a lot lower. There's a pretty big gap there.
I think Jimmy Graham's going to be fascinating as a Packer, and that's there's going to be a lot of interest, I think, in Jimmy Graham. So that'll be another guy that will factor into that. But I want one of the top like four guys, five guys.
Mm-hmm.
I want one. I don't want to have to. In my main league, the Charge League last year, I had Gronk. And decided to trade him away midseason.
I remember this trade because you did it in the office.
I did do it with Rob.
With Rob, yeah.
And and I got back garbage. And well,
savvy trading charge.
Well, at the tight end. Let me be clear. At the tight end position, I got back garbage at the tight end position, but I ended up plus big time on the trade. It was a very good trade for me, and it powered me to the championship game, which I lost to Todd Gurley. And the point is, I was trying to make do, trying to guess the George Kittle game and then try to guess the Charles Clay game.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
that's
try to
ugly.
Guess the Jared Cook game. And that's, you don't want that. That is just an ongoing week after week nightmare.
You almost need that one defense to just be so terrible against the tight ends. I don't remember which defense
it's
it was.
It's been the Giants for a couple of years.
Yeah, the Giants were pretty bad. I know the Cardinals were bad for a while against tight
ends.
The Raiders. As well. Yeah.
Yeah. But even then, you know, every other week, they're not playing a scrub
you
can pick up off the waiver wire.
Sure.
And so I'm convinced that it's worth paying for Gronk, Kelsey, Ertz, Graham, Ingram, somebody in that mix, Kyle Rudolph, somebody with some level of consistency.
How about the Kyle Rudolph with Kirk Cousins thing?
It'll be interesting, right? I kind of am too, because Cousins did so well, right?
With both Jordan Reed and Vernon
Davis. It didn't even matter who his tight ends were. So there might be a little more upside here. I just don't think that Rudolph is a special talent with the ball in his hands. I mean, if he catches it 8 yards downfield, you've got a 9 yard gain.
But most of the time when he's catching it 8 yards downfield, he's catching it in the end zone.
There's plenty of that.
So that's pretty good.
It's a pretty consistent score.
That's it. Let's wrap it up. At Paul Charchian on Twitter, he's got a lot of followers. At T Jones 5. He doesn't have as many followers.
It's close.
You should follow him. You're catching up?
Yeah, just like 45,000 to go.
Awesome. And I'm at Explosive Output. Make sure to go play some MFL 10s this weekend, especially as the draft gets into full swing. That's going to be fun. I'm excited to do a live draft in MFL 10s next week.
Yeah. As soon as the draft ends, I want to be in with a private MFL 10.
Exactly. That's going to be super fun. All right. For Charch and Trevor, this is Matt Harrison. Thanks for listening to Fantasy Football Almost Daily.